story that I heard a while back, a long time ago, it was about a minister. He was kind of famous, he said he was praying for healing, and nothing was happening. He said, as a matter of fact, the opposite started to happen. He said that, and after a year went by, he said, the more we prayed for people to be healed, the more people actually got sick. And he said a year went by, and he said he was walking up to the church, and the elders of the church, or the deacons, or the leaders were standing at the door, and they told him, how much longer is this going to go on? How much longer? Because they were embarrassed, and they felt lost, because instead of things getting better, they stepped out and started to pray for healing, and nobody was getting healed, and they thought, instead of things getting better, things got worse. And they told him, they said, how long is this going to go on? How long are you going to keep doing this? How far are you going to take this? And he said, I'm going to hold this up because my Bible's a mess, but he said, as long and as far as this book takes us. And he said, I was shocked at their response. He said, they said, okay. He said, they were perfectly okay with that. And he said to himself, I wonder if they actually read this book. Because there's some crazy things in this book. There's some controversial things in this book. So I want to encourage us today to understand that God is moving in a very special way through worship and through our lives, and especially in this time, because through this time, through everything we've gone through this past year, maybe year and a half, God is ready to move in this place. Pastor Al's been prophesying and speaking this out, that God is going to do something new. And I pray today that we come with an expectation and believe that God is willing, ready, and able to do something new in our lives. Amen? I started to preach already, and you guys do that to me. I don't know why, but somehow you guys do that to me. But I know we have some announcements. Brother Rafik, are we going to get those today? Or okay, praise the Lord. And just a reminder for those who are watching online, I'm going to look directly at the camera. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I hate being on camera. I hate taking pictures. But I'm doing a sacrifice unto the Lord today, that we're going to be doing communion right after the message. So if you want to get your elements ready, you can get them ready during or now if you want. But anyways, Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. here on campus, we're having a young adults meeting, a youth group. Pastor Mike would have got really upset if I would have just kind of dismissed that. So youth group, if you guys have teenagers or the youth group, I don't quite know the ages. Pastor Mike, what are the ages? Younger than Pastor Mike, those are the ages. So youth group 7 on Tuesday nights. We want to encourage everybody to come who can make it. Also the young adults Tuesday. I got to sit in on a meeting on Tuesday, and I couldn't believe how much fun those guys have. They've been holding out all this time. They're having so much fun on Tuesday nights. Also Wednesday nights, right? Book of Nehemiah. And I just want to encourage you. Maybe I haven't encouraged you enough, but I want to encourage you to jump on Wednesdays at 7. If you can jump on, they're not going to make you feel bad. It's not scary. Just follow the link and jump on Wednesday night. Brother Assam's doing and Dina are doing an amazing job in leadership, doing an amazing job. And it's just a true testimony through the Zoom meetings and through everything that's gone on, is a testimony of perseverance that even in the hardest times, that we're still able to meet through the pandemic and through people living distances away. So if you can, please, Wednesday night at 7. And also tithes and offerings. The info's all up there. So ICARISE.com, you could do your offering online, or we have a box in the back if you want to give your offering through that. So that being said, all right, so like I said, we're going to be doing communion right after this. So I just want to really encourage you guys today. Pastor Al's not here today. He's getting refreshed. Him and Pastor Daly are getting refreshed. But, one thing I just want to say before we actually begin, I don't know if they're watching, if they're not, but they're just such a blessing to my life. I just want to honor them so much. I just honor them so much. I mean, they've been so instrumental in helping me to grow through this season and helping me encourage me this season. And if you don't know Pastor Dahlia, man, you cannot be around her without being encouraged, right? Am I right? Okay, we got a couple amens. We're building momentum, okay? We're building momentum. But so I just want to honor them today. We prayed for them earlier in the chapel. And if you guys are watching, we love you guys. God bless you guys. So we're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 7. Actually, we're going to go from chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 24. And it's a bit lengthy reading, so I pray that you guys would have patience today. And the reason why I feel like the Lord spoke this or wanted me to speak about this today is because it's so fitting for our time that we're in today. I know we've talked a lot about the pandemic, and we've talked a lot about what we've gone through, and we're persevering through it. The Lord is allowing us to persevere through it, but I really feel like this is fitting because, you know, it's so confusing nowadays with, you know, even I sometimes don't know what to say when people ask me questions. It's, well, how should I do? Is it mask or no mask? Is it vaccine or no vaccine? Is it masked indoors, masked outdoors? What is it, you know? And there's so many questions that we're asking, and it seems like we're in kind of a down period right now in our society where it's like 25 believe this way, 25% believe this way, and 50% don't know what to believe because they're getting on both sides. And I run into people at work in different places, and they're asking me, well, what do you think about this, John? What do you think about that? And sometimes I tell them it's basically for you to decide and allow God to speak to you however he sees fit, right? Because, you know, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble with this, your opinions nowadays. But anyways, so I really feel like this on 2 Kings, it deals with a lot of issues that they're struggling with. It's actually a really dark time in Israel's history. If I could just give you a quick background, the book of 2 Kings, you know, is about the northern kingdom. There's the northern and southern kingdom. The two kingdoms divided. It's kind of like the division of the nation. And now you got the northern side, which is up, and you got the southern side. And in the southern side, 8 kings were good. All the rest of them were bad. But on the northern side, the side we're going to be speaking about today, every king was bad. There was no righteous king in it at this time. So things seemed really dark, really bleak. And as the nations continued to divide, they got weaker and weaker and weaker. As they turned themselves away from God, they got weaker and weaker. So anyways, I'm going to read 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 24. We should have put it up, but it's fine. I'll just read it. If you have your Bibles, you know, you could turn there. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and 1/4 of the cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Can you believe that? I mean, that just goes to show you the condition, the desperate condition. Then as the king of Israel was passing on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you now? From the flesh, from the threshing floor or from the winepress?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." Verse 30. Now it happened when the king heard these words of the woman that he tore his clothes. And as he passed by the wall, the people looked, and underneath he had sackcloth on his body. Then he said, "Go do so to me and more also. God do so to me and more also. If the head of Elijah, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today." But Elijah was sitting, Elijah's a prophet, in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him, but before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "Do you see how the son of a murderer has sent someone to take my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" Verse 33. And while he was still talking with them, there was a messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, "Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, and at the gate of Samaria." So an officer, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows of heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also.
Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die only. And they rose again, and they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys. And they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. Verse 9. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is the day of good news and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, we went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound, or only horses and donkeys tied and the tent intact. Verse 11. And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose at night and said to his servants, let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore they have gone out of the camp and hid themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, please let several men take five of the remaining horses which are left in the city, and look, they may enter and become like the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Or indeed, I say, they may become like the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. Therefore, they took two chariots of horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And when they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed all the road was full of garments and weapons, which the Syrian had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out to plunder the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley were sold for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed an officer on whose hand he had leaned to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled him at the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two seahs of barley for a shekel, and a seah of fine flour for a shekel, shall be sold tomorrow at this time in the gate of Samaria. And that officer had answered the man of the Lord and said, now look, the Lord would make windows in heaven. Could such a thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And it so happened to him, for the people trampled him at the gate and died. That's the chapter, right? So I want us to look at this chapter today, because there's some similarities maybe from our situation, but there's really, if you read this chapter, what I love about this chapter is it's pretty self-explanatory, right? Me and Pastor Al have discussions sometimes, and he said the greatest commentary to the Bible is the Bible itself. Now, there's some key words here that we read, whether maybe good news, maybe surrender, maybe why sit here till we die. There's these different phrases that we read, but I want to talk to you today about the four lepers today. You know, they were in a condition, they were hungry, they were desperate. What made them desperate? There was no food because the enemy had cut off all the supplies to the city. So basically, all Israel, the northern kingdom, was in the city, and all of the Syrians had surrounded the city. So nothing could come in and nothing can go out. Just like we've been studying in the book of Nehemiah, you know, they're rebuilding the gates, and the gates are meant to keep let things out and let things in, right? And we know that. So now the city is being surrounded by all the enemies, by the enemy armies. So they're starving in the city. So they're in the city of Samaria, and nothing's coming out, nothing's going out, and nothing's coming in. So therefore, the prices of food's gone up. I mean, you could see to the level of desperation they are. I read in chapter 6 that they're even as the Lord prophesied, when you turn your back on me, that you're going to sacrifice your kids, that you're going to eat your own kids, because there's going to be so much famine and starvation in the land. And that's what we see, and that's the lowest of low that you could possibly come to. The dove's dung, it says. donkey's head, it says. And those are the things that they're eating. And the Bible even says when they go to send out the chariots to go see the enemy's camp, how it was left, the condition was left. And the Bible says there's only 5 horses left. You know why? Because they ate all of them, right? So I want to talk today about these 4 lepers that we see in chapter 7. We see these lepers in chapter 7, and it starts off in verse 3. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die?" So number one is, they made a decision, right? What's ironic about it is that the Lord had already delivered them, right? And they didn't know it. So can you imagine? The entire city is starving. The Lord has caused the enemy to flee. They heard the noises of the other armies they thought were coming on, and the Lord caused them to be startled and afraid, and they ran away. So basically everything they needed was already there. But they said we need to make sure. Why are we sitting here until we die? Basically, the first thing they did was they made a decision. And just as the Lord has already delivered them, the Lord has already delivered us. The Lord has already paid the price. The Lord has already went to the cross. The Lord has already done these things for us. The Lord has already defeated the enemy. Salvation was already available without any help from man. Have you ever been in that situation where you thought, I need to do something and it seems really, really hard, or maybe there's a decision you need to make and it's really, really hard, but I want to tell you today that the Lord has already delivered you from that situation. What's the key? You have to make a decision today, right? Number one, though, you can't make a decision unless there are alternatives, right? Don't ever think that you don't have a choice, because the Lord always gives us a choice. Why? Because without a choice, there can be no love, right? Because without a choice, there's nothing, right? Even the people inside the walls had a choice, and the prophet told them, by this time tomorrow, things are going to change. But they did not believe. Right, the 4 lepers in this verse, chapter 3 and 4, it says, they said, if we say we will enter the city and the famine is in the city, and we're going to die there because there's no food. And if we sit here and do nothing, we're going to die. So they said, why are we going to sit here till we die? At least if we start to go and see, maybe they'll have mercy on us. Right? So the question number one is, why are we sitting here until we die? They acknowledged that they will die if they stay in that situation. Amen? They made a choice. Number two, and we see this in verse 5. And I love this. I have a highlight. I don't know when I highlighted it, but I highlighted a long time ago. It says, and they rose up. Right? I know it sounds kind of easy. Just get up. Just stand up. But how many of you guys know when everything is working against you? Maybe you've been through a tragedy in your life, or maybe even now you're going through something, but when everything, it seems like everything is working against you, it's not as easy as we think to just stand up, right? Sometimes it's hard to rise up out of your decision. For these men, it was probably physical hard, but sometimes for us, it's spiritually hard. Sometimes for us, maybe we feel like we've been stuck in a rut spiritually, or maybe we think that things have gone wrong. We have problem after problem after problem, and we just don't sense the presence of God anymore. But how many of you guys know God has already prepared a way for us? God has already made a way of escape. The Bible says that He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle, and He's already made a way of escape for us. Amen? And maybe we've been stuck in a place for a long time. The lepers didn't just happen to be at the gate. You know why they were at the gate? Because they weren't allowed in the city. And maybe there's been limitations put on our lives today. Maybe we think we're not good enough, whatever the label may be. Or maybe we've been in this problem for a long time and we think, I make this mistake and I say I'm not going to do it anymore. And then I do it again. And then I say I'm not going to do it anymore. And I do it again. But how many of you guys know God is calling us to rise up above those circumstances? It's like in John 5, when I was reading this, I remember the story of John 5 when Jesus comes to a crippled man, a man that had been infirmed for 38 years. The Bible says that Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda and saw this man there. And he knew he'd been sitting there for a long time. And Jesus asked him a question. He says, "What do you want? Do you want to be healed?" Right? Now, how many of you guys know the correct response when you've been sick for 30, you've been crippled for 38 years, the correct response is? Yes! Right? Good job, class. Like Pastor Al, good job, class. Right? Sorry, Pastor. Anyways, the correct response is yes. But if you go to John chapter 5 and you read the dialogue between Jesus and this man, he doesn't say yes. He says, well, you know, and this is the greatest thing, right? And it reminds me so much of us. It says, the man says, you know, I want to get in the water to be healed because they believed when the water started bubbling, if you got in right away, that you'd be healed, right? And he says, you know, I want to get in the water, but every time I do, someone goes in before me. And you know what? The water starts to bubble, and I want to go in the water to get my healing, but you know what? There's no one to help me. And the thing about this, the beautiful thing about the story is that Jesus doesn't even entertain those things. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, I know, you know, poor you, you know, I'm so sad that that happened. Jesus doesn't entertain any of that. He just says, right, take up your bed, rise up, and walk. And the Bible says immediately the man gets up and goes, right? Jesus knows all of this man's problems, just like Jesus knows all of our problems. We don't have to continue to repeat our problems to him. He already knows. But Jesus is the only answer when it comes to getting out of that place that you're stuck in. Someone say amen. If you feel like you're stuck in a situation like these four lepers were stuck in a situation, today is the day. Today is the day to rise up. Today is the day to get out of that situation that you've been stuck in. And it could be a mental situation. It could be a physical situation. It could be a spiritual situation. And no matter what it is, can I tell you a secret? Jesus is the answer. Whether it's sin, disappointment, or even hopelessness. I mean, could you imagine the hopelessness that these lepers felt? There was an enemy army on one side, a city that wouldn't accept them on the other side. They basically had nowhere to turn. But the Bible says they rose up and said, maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's hope. Jesus is here, and he has the power to raise us up out of any situation. Amen. Number three, the third thing they did, it says, and verse 5 says, and they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. Right? So number three, they began to move towards the enemy's camp. In other words, they moved towards mercy. They thought maybe the enemy will show us mercy. But how many of you guys know the enemy was already defeated? The enemy was already gone. But the mercy of God was all that remained. Someone said this, I read this one time, it says, the mercy of God it consumes the altar when you place your will on it. So in other words, when you're ready to surrender your will to God, God will take that will and he'll give you his will. Amen? And like I said earlier, they only had three choices. Try to go in the city, which would lead to death. Stay where they are and do nothing, which would lead to certain death, or move towards mercy and grace. Right? Mercy is what? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace is when you don't deserve something, but you get it anyways. Amen? They thought that maybe the Syrians might give it to them, but the Lord has already given it. They were hoping for scraps. But the Lord, through his goodness, already had a table prepared for them. And just as David says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. This is good news today. The Lord already has a table prepared for us. Amen? For who? The lepers, the outcasts, the ones who are outside the gate because they're rejected. The Lord has salvation and mercy and His grace prepared for all who call on His name and would move towards Him. Amen? Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need." Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us." Lamentations 3:22 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and His mercies never come to an end." Amen? That's good news, by the way. Right? Number four, after they make it into the camp, we read, it says in verse 5, "And they rose at twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear noises of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of the great army. So they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians.' Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And these lepers," verse 8, "when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into it and one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver, gold, and clothing and went and hid it. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and then they hid it." Verse 9, "Then they said to one another," and this is the key, and this is where you're going to see the parallel between us and them is, "Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right, for this is the day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household.'" Number four, they proclaimed what the Lord had done. And the good news is that if God could use these four leprous men, I mean, what could He do with you, right? What could He do with us, right? First thing is they did was they went and they started to hide, right? They started to hide stuff. They started to think of themselves first, right? They started to take care of themselves first. But God gives them enough for themselves, and He also gives them enough for the whole city. God gives them enough for themselves first. So they basically received the salvation first, but now they have something that's going to save the entire city. You know, we've been going through the book of Acts, and we read in Acts where Peter stands up and preaches and 3,000 were saved. And we read when Stephen stands up and he preaches to the religious people and he gets martyred. And we read about Philip just recently, about how he went to the city of Samaria, the same city of Samaria, and the whole city got saved. And there was joy that filled the entire city. And you know that was done by one fisherman and two waiters, basically, men that waited on the tables. So how much more can the Lord do with you and me? If you've been in church for any measure of time, you already have what you need to share the good news. What does this have to do with it? This is the Old Testament Great Commission, as one commentator put it. Right? They say, if we remain silent, we're doing something wrong. Basically, I mean, that's what they're saying. If we don't share what's going on, if we don't share what God has already done, something's wrong. Right? What moved these lepers to tell other people was conviction. Right? You don't need to sit around and debate theology. You don't need to sit around and debate, you know, all these different theological principles. You already have what you need. We already have what we need to share. That one day I was blind, but now I could see. Once I was lost, and now I was found. Now I am found. Once I was dead, and now I am alive. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for me. And Jesus Christ saved me. And He made me into a new creation. Just as Paul said, it's no longer I that live, that Christ lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's it. The good news, it's not about winning an argument. It's about what God has done for all mankind. Sometimes I feel like, and I heard this too, someone told me this, they said, sometimes I feel like we're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. God's waiting on us to move, right? On Tuesday night, we talked about the burden of Jesus. And the burden of Jesus is souls. The burden of Jesus is salvation, right? Just like you read in 1 Timothy 2:3-5. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man. That man is Jesus Christ. Amen? So where does this desire come from? This desire to share the good news. It comes from a great area in our lives of gratitude. God, I'm so grateful for what you did. God, I thought I was dead at that gate. The lepers must have thought, God, I thought I was dead at that gate. I thought there was no hope in my life. I thought there was nothing I could ever do that would be good enough. There was nothing that I could do. I could follow your rules and never be good enough. I could try to follow the rules and never be good enough. But one day, God, you saved me. And God, this is kind of how we live our lives. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. Amen? When I was at my weakest and lowest, God, you picked me up. You saved me, and you made me into a new creation. And finally, through this deliverance, the Bible says, and I'm just going to go on because we're running out of time soon, but and finally, through these men's deliverance, they saved the whole city. Right? But eventually, they were going to die. Just like you and I, eventually we're all going to, I mean, I know it's sad, unless the Lord tarries and comes back, we're all going to go on to be with the Lord. We're all going to die. But what separated these men, and why I believe that this is written in the Bible, because even though they knew one day they would die eventually, they chose to do something with the time that they had left. And that's the call to each and every one of us. What will you do today that can make a difference for all eternity? And I know it's not about our works, but there should be a holy conviction inside of each and every one of us to tell people there is a way of deliverance, and his name is Jesus. So to summarize the story, these four men were bound for death. There was no hope in the city, and they made a decision to seek salvation. God had already defeated the enemy. They were saved by God when they entered in, and they were enjoying their salvation, and they realized it wasn't right to keep it to themselves. They told everybody in the city the good news of what God had done. Do you see a parallel here? That's why this is called the Great Commission of the Old Testament, is because the way that they function in this paragraph is the same way that God is calling each and every one of us, right? The four lepers, they didn't have any power. They were weak. But once they shared the good news, the whole city was saved. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Did you guys know that you have power in the name of Jesus Christ? That you have power as you share this word? The gospel, the good news, the Bible says, is power. Now you might say, I don't feel comfortable sharing. I don't know if people are going to receive it. It doesn't matter. The Bible says that God gives his word, and his word performs as it pleases. Amen? We're going to do communion soon, but before we do, I know this was short, but it was just I feel like this is the direction God's taken us towards. I feel like God's leading us to the direction to where things are beginning to change. I believe that God wants to move us in that place again where we used to be. So I'm going to ask you to stand right now as I pray. And just close your eyes, and I really want us to take this moment Because I really feel like the Lord wants to do something today with us. I really believe that there's a place that's a turning point in our lives. And maybe we know all this already, but we've been restricted because of the things that are happening around us. But today is the day. I want to encourage you today. I want the Lord to speak to us today. And I pray today, Lord, that we move towards your grace, that we move towards your mercy. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that we would be real with you, Lord. That we can't hide or run from your presence. Lord, I pray today would be a turning point in our lives. We would move to your presence. I pray today would be a new day in our lives. And Lord, just as you give us this word of encouragement to rise up, to make a decision, I pray today, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. We move to towards your mercy and your grace. And we say, Lord, help us. Lord, we can't do it on our own. Lord, we need you. I pray that there would be such a desperation and a cry today. Such a hunger for God. That things would begin to change. Things would begin to change in our families. Things would begin to change in our workplace. Things would begin to change in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you move today. That your Holy Spirit speak to us today in a special, special way. That we can't run from you any longer. We can't hold back any longer. That there would be a manifestation, a bubbling, Lord, within us. That there would be a bursting in our hearts, that we would have to share the good things that you've done. We can't sit silent any longer. Because your goodness overwhelms us. I'm just going to say right now where you're at, I pray that we could come to that place where whatever it is, if we walked away from the Lord, maybe we don't know the Lord or whatever it is, that we can be honest with God today. Or maybe we haven't been, we've just been so consumed with ourselves. You know, it happens. And I pray today that we could repent and say, Lord, forgive us. Help us, Lord. This isn't between you and the person next to you. It's between you and God. It's between me and God. That this would be the first step towards something great happening. Lord, we welcome you in this place. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to move as you will. Holy Spirit, speak to your people. Holy Spirit, help us to call out the things, Lord, that are not right in our lives. We know, Lord. Lord, help us to be real with you, God. Father, I pray that you touch each and every person here. I pray as we're standing, even as we're standing, Lord, you see us. You know us. And whatever it is in your heart, whatever that pain is, I want to encourage you today, give it to God. Whatever it is that you feel has been holding you back this whole time, maybe a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe longer, I want you to give it to God today. The Lord stands with his hands open. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to come up, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let each man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So, Lord, as we partake this, Lord, we give you glory and honor. We thank you, Lord, for your body and blood that you've already given. And we thank you, Lord, that we, as we take this communion, we proclaim that you're returning for us, Lord, that you're going to come back again. And if you haven't already made things right with you and God, because the Bible says that if you drink in an unworthy manner, maybe there's something in your life that you want to hold on to, that you don't want to let go, I'll tell you, don't take communion today. But if you're ready and you feel that your heart is right with God, and if you need a moment, we'll give you a moment to make yourself right, to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. Then partake with us as we pass out the elements. I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to pray, and then the worship team will sing another song.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, give you honor, we give you glory, Lord. We